Macmillan Audio presents One of Us Will Be Dead by Morning by David Moody. Read for you by Gerard Doyle, a member of SAG-AFTRA. Monday. Chapter 1. The air here is filled with noise. The low, belly-shaking, rough-roaring engine grind clashes with the crashing of the waves. The freshness of the seawater salt tang is offset by the stench of diesel fumes. Rolling and tipping, listing this way and that, climbing the surf, then crashing back down. It feels non-stop, chaotic, barely controlled, all-consuming. And yet over all of this, most of the kids are oblivious. The adults, charged with looking after them, struggle to make themselves heard. Angry yells compete with excited, high-pitched screams and lose out every time. They're desperately trying to find their sea legs, while the kids they're supposed to be looking after run rings around them. The patience of the adults is limited, already wearing thin. The energy of the kids, on the other hand, seems to know no bounds. It's too early for this, Joanne Hillman thinks. She never wanted to come on this stupid school trip anyway, but Dad had made her. It might have been bearable if Jackie hadn't backed out last week, like she always does. And Louise has been acting weird all morning, keeping herself to herself and barely saying anything to anyone, like the whole world's against her. Dad said it would be good for Joanne to spend some time away from home, to force her out of her shell and make her mix with people. But she's quite happy in her shell on her own, thank you very much, Dad. She sits on the bench on the wooden deck and watches the churning waves, swinging her feet and pulling her waterproof jacket tight around her to keep out the cold and the spray. She should still be in bed. Normally she wouldn't be up for hours yet. She'd just about got used to the idea of being away from home, but the collie wobbles, as Mum calls them, set in last night, and right now she'd rather be anywhere but here. She feels sick, a combination of the constant rolling motion and her nervous belly. And this is just the beginning. She has a whole week to get through. Grasp the opportunity, Dad kept telling her yesterday. Make the most of it. You'll be back before you know it. Dad really does talk a lot of crap sometimes, Joanne thinks. Trouble is, when you're 13 and a half, a week feels like forever. She thinks about insignificant stuff to try to distract herself. If she wastes time thinking about nothing, she reckons, then the day should go by that much faster. She knows it's an illusion, because time never speeds up or slows down. But right now, that illusion is just about the only thing she's got left to hold on to. The week stretches out ahead of her like a prison sentence. Days and days away from home and her bedroom and the TV and the cat, with no chance of early release. She's already marking time like a convict. About 175 hours before she gets back, she's worked out. She puts in her headphones and cranks up the volume to drown everything out. Too wrapped up in her music and her miserable, melancholy thoughts to care what's happening elsewhere, Joanne's blissfully oblivious of the chaos unfolding just metres away from where she's sitting. She doesn't hear the screams, she doesn't sense the panic, and she doesn't see the kid approaching. The kid who's about to kill her. The first she knows of the attack is a vicious swipe around the left side of her head. The weapon is actually a length of chain taken from the safety railings, but when it hits, it feels rigid like a length of lead pipe, and it burns like nothing she's ever felt before. Joanne's on all fours with her ear split and blood running into her eyes and mouth before she knows what's happening. She gasps for breath, her mind in overload, struggling to work out what, who, how, and why, and at the same time trying to cope with the most...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?